From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on September 2nd, when a Syrian family set out to reach Canada, fleeing the crisis in their home country. The Kurdi family boarded a small plastic inflatable boat from the beach in Bodrum, Turkey. 16 people were on that boat, which was designed to hold no more than 8. But they were desperate. They were trying to reach a Greek island called Kos, only about 2.5 miles away, as part of their journey. Later reports indicated that the Kurdi family paid more than $5,000 for 4 spaces on that crowded boat. Only 5 minutes after departing, the boat capsized. 2 children drowned, and their bodies washed up on the shore, and 2 local men dragged the boy's body to a dry part of the beach. That is where the 3-year-old boy, Elan, was discovered by a Turkish journalist. The photograph showed the boy, a beautiful 3-year-old, lying face down in the sand, and you've probably seen it. The image went around the world, a photographic illustration of children in crisis. What we are about to discuss next might be even more horrifying than children falling off overloaded refugee boats. Thousands of children who survive are headed for countries that have vast human trafficking networks. Another word for that is slavery. In the maelstrom of refugee arrival, kids are stolen, girls sold into the sex trade, boys into various forms of hard labor. So here's what we can do. One of the most powerful films made about the human trafficking crisis is called Not My Life. The filmmakers are working on a new documentary film that will update the crisis from several points of view, and they are trying to raise the funds to make that happen. That window of fundraising has just opened, and they have a long way to go. My guest for the hour is Bob Bilheimer, who is the president of Worldwide Documentaries and the director, the proposed director, if they can raise the funds, for The Heart of the Matter. And your work, Bob, I was saying to Bob before they began, it shocked me. We're going to talk about it this hour. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for that absolutely great introduction, summary. You just made my life a lot easier.
Well, but,
great to
but,
be
but isn't it true that that image of that Syrian boy, that 3-year-old, people sort of knew abstractly it was happening? Sometimes an image, and that's why I think of your film, Not My Life. Sometimes what you sort of abstractly know about it, you see it in a black and white headline, but when you see it, it can change people, can it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. The Elan's picture, you mentioned the one of him washed ashore. One of the pictures that got me in that was of that very tall soldier who had Elan in his arms, and with the, you just saw his feet. And what was important to me about that is that it kind of symbolized the fact that, you know, we can pick these people up, we can help them. But going to your point about the power of imagery, I don't think there's any question that in this day and age we live in a world where images, motion picture images, still images, are a kind of language of the world, don't you think? And there's no doubt that Elan's picture spurred people to action that simply didn't know about this and still don't. And that's why we kind of felt that in addition to the work we did with Not My Life, that the crisis in Europe has reached such proportions and such dangers that I said we have to do something about this. Not My Life is kind of the go-to film on this issue in the world today. And I said, listen, we've just got to go there and do this and let people know what's happening.
All right, I want to back up a bit and with just a little bit of a timeline for our listeners to understand Not My Life. That film was made and released when, Bob?
We released it in 2011. And it took us 4 or 5 years to make it. We went to 5 continents, a dozen countries, because this is human trafficking and modern slavery are really global issues. Trafficking exists in every country in the world. So we made this film, Not My Life, and released it. And, you know, for better or for worse, in the film literature that exists about this issue, Not My Life is the only film that really tries to look. And it's an imperfect film in some ways because you can't cover it all. But it's the only film that sort of looks at this issue from a global perspective. And it's just, you know, it's caught fire. And there's not a day goes by that the film isn't seen somewhere kind of in the world, you know. And I think it actually has. When we first started making Not My Life, you'd sit to mention human trafficking like to someone here in Rochester, and you'd get kind of a blank stare. Now, there's a group called the Rochester Regional Coalition Against Human Trafficking that's launching in 2016. And many of the people will tell you it's because they saw this film.
No question. I mean, the film, it moved me in many, many ways. It's about an hour long, beautifully narrated by Glenn Close. And people can still find it and pay for it online now.
Just go to notmylife.org.
It's only an hour long, and I'm telling you, it is an important, it's one of those films where you go, that was hard at times, but it's really, really important. And so for me, there were a lot of different things that I think, again, I sort of abstractly knew but didn't know. Mm-hmm. And the question of human trafficking in this country, mm-hmm. I think I was like a lot of Americans where I think, well, it's a good thing slavery doesn't exist here, or human trafficking doesn't exist here. And maybe we can play the sound clip of... I think we've got a clip of Angie. And so just a brief story on Angie. You know, she was this teenage girl, pretty good family, you know, not perfect, whose family's perfect. But she runs away with a couple of friends, and one of the friends says, I know a guy, I'll call him. Now, Angie didn't know he was a pimp, and they're driving away. She realizes that her life is in danger. She thinks, I'm probably going to die here. And he forces the girls into essentially sexual slavery. And here she is in the film telling the story about what they had to do, which was there was a fee for oral sex. There was a fee for sex. There was a fee for both. And she tells the story of... what it was like for her realizing I may never get back to my own family. Let's listen.
Melissa went through his wallet. And he had grandkids as old as us. And all I could think about the whole time was how my grandpa could be this guy right now and how that would feel. And I just wanted to die. And then I started to just think that maybe I deserved this. For doing this to my parents and to myself.
That's Angie's story. She's a survivor and thankfully now is doing pretty well for herself. But her story, she is one of 100,000 people, human trafficking, about 100,000 a year, we think, in this country. Is that
right?
Yeah,
the big problem here, Evan, is that with trafficking, unlike, say, some of the other great human rights issues we've looked at, including immediately preceding this film, the global AIDS issue, is that we just don't know, you know. This is a hidden crime, deep underground, so that even to this day, with all the kind of increased attention that's been given to this issue, the best people are able to say in terms of sexual trafficking is that there probably is about 300,000 girls at risk. But we just don't know. The criminals are outperforming, if you will, the law enforcement. It's an incredible imbalance, put it that way.
There's a real deficit for law enforcement, especially in countries around the world, in trying to keep up with the human traffickers. Mm-hmm. The human traffickers know right now that there is a refugee crisis. So we're watching what's going on in Syria as just one example. Tens upon tens, hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, it's one thing to look at, say, Hungary or some of the countries that have had some of the more kind of repellent response and frankly, some of the aberrant responses to this and say, well, you know, that is racist or that is unfortunate. It's another when you realize through the work that Bob and so many others are trying to do to illustrate the vulnerability of kids. And so, again, the first film, Not My Life, 4 years old, this is the update, and it's only going to get made if they can raise how much money, Bob?
Well, right now we're looking for $25,000-$30,000 just to get the film off the ground to get started. What I need to do right away is to get to Europe and begin to finalize a lot of the storylines that basically we have wide networks because of Not My Love all over the continent. So it's kind of like putting the pieces together. And pre-production on these kinds of projects is never quite the most glamorous thing in the world. But if you don't do it, you know, if you can't kind of get that basic work done, get the blueprint done, get some original shooting done, it's just not going to happen. And we really, really want to get this film done by the early or late spring of 2016 at the latest. I've just lately had the bright idea that maybe the timing would be such that we could go for the Oscars again. You know, one of our films was nominated for an Academy Award, and not because of the award part, but just because we're, so far as I know, about the only folks that are capable of really doing this. So I think the local community, Rochester community, has a fantastic chance to, you know, play a kind of a global role here, because if we can get this film done, I honestly, truly believe it'll make a difference and that we can save children's lives. So we need this money. We've set up a platform on the crowdfunding platform, Indiegogo,
yep. And we have, if you go to Twitter right now, at Evan Dawson on Twitter, we put a link up to the project right now. So the Indiegogo site, because the Indiegogo site is actually, it's not one of those super easy to remember things, unfortunately. But that's okay. It's like igg.me/AT/HOM.
Yeah, well, the link. That's the direct link to our project. But if you just go to Heart of the Matter, or better yet, go to your Twitter. I mean,
yeah,
that's
we'll
fabulous.
Link you right to it so you can check it out. So add Evan Dawson on Twitter right now. The link for the Indiegogo fundraising site for the future film, Heart of the Matter, that Bob is going to be hopefully creating over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, it's a short film, by the way. We want to do a 25-minute film, and then the concept is to do it as a standalone piece, but then also to do a condensed version of it and fold it into Not My Life so that, you know, you're just kind of keeping up with, you know, just kind of keeping up. I just frankly am flabbergasted at what we're seeing right now.
Talking about Bill Hymer and the film Not My Life, notmylife.org, for me, it answered a question that I think I had that I never really considered, which is, what does slavery look like in 2015? Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, if you're American, you grow up in this country, your first thought about slavery is what American slavery looked like, plantations and things like that. And then you think, well, what does slavery look like in 2015? And the answer is there's not one single answer. It's different in country to country. The film starts in Ghana. And Ghana has, I think you said in the film, it's a man-made lake. And they find vulnerable young boys born in poverty. And the parents, help me out, Bob, because there's so many different countries and backgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't want to misstate.
Yeah, yeah.
In this case, the young boys in Ghana are the parents, usually the moms, are they selling them because they're desperate, they're impoverished? Is that sometimes how it works?
Traffickers, look, the first thing to understand, human trafficking, which is really, I don't know, for me, kind of a euphemism, if you will, for what
slavery,
is this?
It's slavery, right?
It's slavery.
Right, it's slavery.
I remember interviewing John Miller, who was our first trafficking ambassador, a great guy, looked like Abraham Lincoln a little bit. And I was interviewing him, and he says, "It's slavery, Bob," and they call it trafficking, you know, with utter disdain.
Well, George Carlin would have a problem with that. George Carlin hated euphemisms of all sorts.
Yeah, exactly.
And he would not want to see this called trafficking.
We call it trafficking, but it's slavery. Look, I mean, we're talking about something that exists in every country in the world today. There are so many different forms of slavery at the moment that it would be hard to enumerate all of them here. But basically, you're looking at sexual slavery, of course. You're looking at all different kinds of labor slavery, which is what I mentioned about the fishing boys, and I'll get back to them in a minute. You're also talking about the trafficking or the trading of human organs. You're talking about domestic servitude, which we find a great deal here in the United States. So that, you know, this is a vigorous kind of aggressive cancer on the body politic. The great tragedy of all, it seems to me, is that the majority of trafficking victims are children. And if you ask yourself why, you look at a trafficker and he can have control over a child. A poor child is the most vulnerable human creature on earth. And human traffickers all over the world know that. And they have techniques that they share, or a technique, and it's basically called sweet talking. And sweet talking is simply pretending that you are the friend, say, of a poor mother in Ghana who has eight children to feed. And he said, let me take your boy and give him a job and bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
In Romania, where you have the Roma populations, right? A human trafficker will come in and say, let me take your daughter. We'll bring her back. She's gone. The depths of cruelty involved in these practices are, in my view, almost beyond comprehension. I remember interviewing Kevin Bales, who was one of the forerunners of the human trafficking movement, and he said when I interviewed him, he said, you say it's inhuman? I'll tell you, it's human beings that do this kind of stuff. And you're talking about breaking the legs or a leg of a three-year-old boy so that he can get a sympathy dollar as a beggar in Greece?
You break the boy's leg.
Yeah.
So he can go beg, and the money he brings in goes right to you.
Yeah. There is another example of, I think, again, for tourists visiting religious shrines, I think, once again, in Greece, that they will make the child drink a fluid of some kind so that his face turns a terrible color of green, and the tourists, all that money goes back to a trafficker. And bear in mind, Evan, that the only thing that people this is a multi-billion dollar year industry, on a par with the trafficking of guns and drugs. I think now it's right up there. It's not even number three anymore. These are human beings.
Consider from Bob's film that in many countries, there are bigger penalties for selling and transporting drugs than there are for selling children.
Oh, absolutely no question about it. In India, you can buy a child for half what it would cost you to buy a cow. So, you know, I'm watching you, and but you know, Evan, I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years, and sometimes I get that same look on my face.
Well, there was something I really just wanted to ask you as a filmmaker, though, because as much as the film impacted me emotionally, there was a part that enraged me. Mm-hmm. You sat down with a couple of people who trafficked. And again, that is such a euphemism. By the way, trafficking really does mean slavery. Trafficking and smuggling are not synonymous. Smuggling generally means you're smuggling people who want to be moved from one place to another. So don't interchange those two. But trafficking and slavery, consider them essentially the
same.
It's
a really good point.
But you know, you talk to people who trafficked, who did terrible, terrible things, and they seemed to almost be indifferent, almost gleeful about what they did to these kids. And I wondered if you felt any of that rage about that.
Yeah, we talked to a boy, a young man. Bear in mind that human traffickers, particularly in Europe, where we're going to film Heart of the Matter, they're petty criminals. You know, they trade back and forth, a couple of hundred bucks here, a couple of hundred bucks there. But my feeling when I interviewed one of these traffickers was not so much rage as although in retrospect, I'm very angry at the whole thing, but the whole phenomenon, how can this be happening in our world? But I was confused. How can this be?
Yeah. It makes you almost wonder, in that young man's life, what led to you being able to steal a child away and
He was the son of an upper middle class.
Yeah.
His mother was the director of a perfume factory in Bucharest. You know, he's a normal kid, like a kid who goes to high school here in Rochester. And you see the same thing here. You know, you'll see the trafficker here could be, I remember a story that we were told that was the quarterback of a high school football team. Who was trafficking for his father, you know, down in New Orleans. So this quarterback would, you know, chat up these girls and get them to take a it's insane. It's insidious. It's insane. It's unbelievable. But it's very, very real. We're talking about big numbers. I hate to say it.
We're talking about Bill Hymer, the president of Worldwide Documentaries and the director of the forthcoming, if they can raise the funding for it, Heart of the Matter, which is the component and kind of the companion piece and the follow-up to his remarkable 2011 film, Not My Life, which is an hour-long documentary that takes us around the world telling these stories of what slavery looks like today, and it is real, and it generally targets children. You know, so in Ghana, you've got these kids who, you know, often very early in their life are brought out to fish, and that's what they do. They work 14 hours a day. A good number of them will eventually die in the water because they're going down retrieving these nets of fishing nets, and sometimes they get tangled and they drown. And that's just considered sort of a business loss, no big deal to the people. I mean, they don't want to lose their property, but that's their life. And I want to listen
to... it's not their life.
Well, exactly right. I want to listen to Kevin Bales, who Bob referenced Kevin Bales from Happy Kids. And Kevin Bales is talking here about these boys in Ghana, but also in general, about the absolute need to get these kids out of the slavery they're in, because there is somehow hope, even for a boy who, let's say at 4 years old, gets pulled into slavery, 18 years old. Can we get him out? Can he get his life back? This is what Kevin Bales had to say.
They can go from an almost zombie-like existence of brutality, which is a reaction to brutality, to a pretty normal childhood, a happy, playing, educated, enthusiastic kid. And I've watched this miracle time and time again, and it absolutely floors me. And in fact, you know, I've got to say, if there's one thing that keeps me doing what I'm doing, it's that. It's watching those kids go from being kids without hope and kids without any light in their eyes and kids without any play in their hearts to being free, happy kids again.
That's Kevin Bales from the film Not My Life. And Bob, you seem to echo so much of that. You know, that hope, that's why you're doing this, that if we can somehow find a way to stop this, that those kids can have their lives back.
This is such a great conversation, Evan. I can't thank you enough. It was great to hear Kevin again. I think, you know, you have to fight back. We have to fight back. That's why we're doing this. That's why I'm going to spend, you know, 6 months in November, if we can find the money, you know, in Europe, sitting with these people, being with these people, because there is resilience in the human spirit, don't you think? I think history tells us that when you can achieve a kind of critical mass with respect to public awareness of these tragedies, that then the goodness in us tends to come out. We're going to be talking, I think, soon to my friend Susan Bissell, who's former chief of child protection at UNICEF. And, you know, Susan says it's not inevitable. This is not an inevitable consequence of the kind of world we live in. We can fight back. And that's what, you know, any of us, and I proud to include you among these folks right now, for sure. We have to fight back because I just feel that the world cannot go on as it is, especially now with this crisis in Europe, with this kind of thing happening. Do you know what I mean? How can...
It's stunning. It's when you grow up in a sort of a, let's face it, a privileged country, a country that's doing well, and that doesn't mean we're perfect. We've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. But when you don't see it every day, mm-hmm. it is stunning mm-hmm. to see that this is real. You know, and so here's another important point here, because I think some of us might think, well, I've got so much going on, you know, it's so far away. Mm-hmm. And you might feel like you're disengaged, but another part of the film that moved me was the girls in Nepal. So the story moves to Nepal, I think it was Nepal, where they are threading and they're creating these carpets that mm-hmm. are high-end, some of them are luxury, you know, generally purchased by wealthy clients, and often they go around the world. You may have a rug in your home right now that was created by young girls who were pushed into forced labor at a very young age. Those girls sitting there, I think they looked like they were 6 to 10 in the film. So that's enough to make me, you know, turn my stomach right away. Then you hear that, think about a girl who's maybe 8 years old, forced to work hours and hours and hours every day creating these carpets that are sold, luxury carpets around the world. And the other fate is the traffickers can come into these factories knowing the girls are there and pick them up and sell them off for sex slavery.
That's right. So
what's a better life? I mean, how horrible. Yeah. I just can't even get my head around that.
Yeah.
And that's real.
Yeah, and the fact that it's happening in the United States, let's never forget that. You know, this phrase that they use, I guess all over, I first heard it in the UK, NIMBY. NIMBY, not in my backyard. And I was saying the other day, I think I was recording something for the Indiegogo platform, you know, a little sort of interview type thing. And I was saying, well, you know, not in my backyard doesn't mean that there's some kind of a trafficker, you know, jumping over your white picket fence. Not in my backyard. The backyard here is your heart and soul. And I honestly believe that in people's hearts and souls, that there is a response, you know, that we can create that so that there are no NIMBYs anymore.
I'm late for a break, and we're going to come back and bring in Susan Bissell, who is with UNICEF. She's on the phone. Bob Bilheimer is my guest for the hour, the president of Worldwide Documentaries, the director of the outstanding 2011 film, Not My Life, notmylife.org. That's how you can get access to it. And it has been an impact around the world, telling the story of human trafficking around the world, including our own country. And the follow-up film is Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter is a film that Bob would like to make over the next 6 months or so, because not only is human trafficking still, and slavery, calling it what it is, not only is that still a problem, it's getting worse, especially in Europe, with the refugee and the refugee crisis there. We've seen it in Syria. We've seen it in other places, and it is getting worse. So short break, more with Bob. Susan Bissell from UNICEF, your phone calls as well when we come back. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections. About a week from now, we will be voting in local elections. Are race and poverty issues at the top of mind for you when you head to the polls? We'll talk about that in the first hour. Then second hour, The Martian, the movie, the smash hit starring Matt Damon. We'll talk about the science of the film and the psychology and ethics of sending human beings to Mars. That's Tuesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Bob Bilheimer is here, and the film that he wants to make needs funding. They've started an Indiegogo campaign, and at Evan Dawson on Twitter, we've put a link up to that if you want to go contribute to that. I think you're only giving yourself about 2 months, and that's because Bob wants to get going right away with this to make an impact, especially with the crisis in Europe right now. And so they've given themselves about 60 days. So if you want to
go check it out. Well, we've got 60 days. Yeah, we want to get over there right away, and we've got 6 months to make the movie is the bottom line.
Okay. And before I bring in Susan Bissell, Herman from Brighton has been waiting to join the conversation. So go ahead, Herman.
Hello. I was wondering, is there an NGO that fights against human trafficking, in particular in among the situation with the refugees from Syria and from the Middle East that are in Europe? Are there any organizations that one can contribute to that are involved in trying to stop the human trafficking there?
There are many, many organizations. In the United States, a major organization is called the Polaris Project. In Europe, we can let Susan speak to that. I mean, certainly UNICEF. There are organizations large and small, and the fact of the matter is that they're all underfunded. Nobody is really paying attention to the trafficking crisis right now. But I think that if you go to, again, if you go to the UNICEF website, I think that certainly there would be references to organizations that would welcome any kind of support.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Herman.
Thank you very much, Herman. And let me bring in Susan Bissell, who's on the line with us, formerly the Chief of Child Protection with UNICEF and now with UNICEF's new global partnership to end violence against children. Susan, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Susan, I was telling Bob, and I've been saying all hour, I mean, it is so hard for me to understand the scope of this, and I think the film is the first thing that's really grabbed me and forced me to do that. Do you find that even really well-intended people struggle with this as well, especially because we kind of grew up thinking slavery, no way? And I wonder if you experience that when you talk to people around the world about this issue.
Well, no, it's extraordinary, and I think that Not My Life, for people who aren't buried in this on a day-to-day basis, Not My Life is just, you know, sort of extraordinary. And I think a first reaction is, oh, this has to be fiction, but it's not. And what surprises those of us that work in this is that there isn't a message out there, that people don't realize how big a phenomena this is, how it touches so many lives, women, children, boys, girls. And Bob's film has just begun to crack that wide open. To the extent, I'm sure he wouldn't want to take credit for this, but you know, there are conversations going on around the world right now because of the very neat way in which he has knit up this true story that touches every country. There's almost no community that's immune to this. And discussing things, public discourse, is the first part of creating change and really creating a social movement that will put an end to this scourge. And of course, law enforcement have to be involved in all of that, but every individual has to be involved and has to care. And for too long, these things have been just either seen to be, oh, it's happening over there, it doesn't touch me, or it can't possibly be happening at all. And that's, I guess, what excites us too about what Bob wants to do next, because as Bob has pointed out, there really isn't much attention being paid to the fact that these men, women, boys and girls that are on the move are incredibly vulnerable, and including vulnerable to human trafficking.
Bob?
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
I'm well, Bob. How are you?
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Evan, one of the things that Susan just said that I think is important to understand about the struggle that we go through is that Susan is among the very few people, in some ways, who really understands the power of public awareness on these issues. And she's been on the ground on this far longer than I have. And it's always... Put it this way, it's a big part of our struggle when we, you know, keep hammering away at raising money, but it's so difficult to get people to understand. They say, oh, well, you know, we need to give this money to a shelter, we need to do this. But the baseline importance of communicating this to a world that essentially is living in ignorance is fundamental, I think. And Susan understands that as well as anybody I know, and it's therefore wonderful that she is doing what she does. Also because she's now looking at the larger issue, we're talking about human trafficking, of violence against children. Isn't that right, Susan?
No, absolutely. And I mean, trafficking is part of that. The, you know, the trafficking story is that these, and let's just talk about children. I work for UNICEF, but you know, the trafficking is a means to an end, and that end is horrific exploitation. And that's why, I mean, Bob, back to you, you're calling it what it is. And I'm calling it, we are calling it now, violence as an international community. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole new set of development goals that the whole world has agreed on. And for the first time, trafficking is named there. Violence is named. Torture is named. And I think it's brave of the world to say, okay, wait a second, it's now 2015. For the next 15 years, we've got some major things to tackle. And in the negotiations of those new goals, called the Sustainable Development Goals, there was no dispute that ending torture, trafficking, child labor, child marriage, female genital mutilation and cutting, and this whole package of violent practices has to be addressed and ended. And what makes the film work that you do, Bob, so important is that people need to talk about these things. It's the first, these are social practices. These aren't, you know, you mentioned shelters. Yes, the shelters are very, very important. We need to put Band-Aids on, you know, the outcomes here that are so negative. But we have to stem the flow. How do we stem the flow? Yes, law enforcement, but I would say equally, if not more important, everyday people have to step up and say something about this, have to do whatever it takes in their own communities, with their own policymakers, do something. This is a social phenomena. Mm-hmm. And without films like Not My Life and this new production, Heart of the Matter, it's just critical. And it's not second to services. I'm not saying that at all. It just needs to be done alongside. And I think we've seen the impact of Not My Life. The Heart of the Matter will be, I think, just so crucial to people really understanding what's going on. I was in Sweden a couple of weeks ago now, and I visited a shelter for people who were actually fleeing the war in Syria and neighboring areas, trying to get through Sweden to other places where they have extended family. And they're on the ground. And just to the caller's question, I want to say that, you know, yes, UNICEF in countries of origin, yes, doing terrific things. But what I saw on the ground in Sweden were two things. One, the Red Cross, a local mm-hmm. Swedish charity, and Save the Children coming together to provide really refuge, you know, a place for these families and their children to go. The second thing I saw in the eyes of both the children and the adults that I saw, who were not English-speaking or Swedish-speaking, was a combination of gratitude for the place they were being given to just stay, have a meal, sleep for a night, be safe. No one's going to harass you about papers and this and that. You're going to be support. You know, there's some clothes there. I saw a room full of clothes that had been donated. It was really quite extraordinary. But I also saw desperation and people who left everything behind. And without those kinds of safe spaces, precisely the phenomena that Bob is going to look at in Heart of the Matter is that these people are vulnerable to others who want to exploit them. And so we need more people aware of that and taking action in whatever way that they can.
The film would be The Heart of the Matter, and Bob would like to spend much of about the next 6 months working on this film. And like you've said, Bob, you know, you've got your own network of contacts that you've set up as well, so you've got some groundwork already in place for you, but you do seem to have some specific ideas. Susan just mentioned Sweden. When you look around Europe, where do you want to go with this right now? I mean, obviously you're open to where the story takes you, but what mm-hmm. do you see as your likely journey as a filmmaker if you want to tell this story?
Well, that's a really good question. We recently developed a very good contact in Serbia, and I think that's a kind of a critical place from a geographical and geopolitical and cultural point of view in terms of this issue. We zeroed in on a couple of refugee camps, which are, I think, places where people are, in fact, most vulnerable.
So they'll come in from Syria, elsewhere, to these camps.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's just real quick, and maybe Susan can add to this, Evan, but I think it's very important for folks and here in Rochester and everywhere to understand just how really bad this crisis is in Europe. There are hundreds of thousands of people pouring into this relatively small continent, fleeing civil wars, driven by deep poverty. This is a crisis of unprecedented proportions in modern history. It therefore devolves that these hundreds of thousands of people will, of course, there are very many difficulties just assimilating these people. And nobody's talking about the fact that they're going to be vulnerable to traffickers. There are 30,000 traffickers in Europe.
And
right
traffickers
now.
Know that, as you pointed out in the first film on this, Not My Life, they know where the lax laws are. Mm-hmm. They understand where it's easier to get away with it. Mm-hmm. They know where, when refugees come in, it's easy for the government to lose track that they were ever even there. And they also know where resources are overwhelmed. I mean, Susan Bissell from UNICEF, again, I saw this film that Bob made, and I thought, where are the governments? Where are the police forces? Where's Interpol? And it sounds like, it's a different answer in every country, but they're really overwhelmed with this, aren't they?
They are overwhelmed with it, and I mean, you mentioned Interpol. That's just such a classic place to start. Underfunded, under-resourced.
Yep.
Relies on voluntary contributions from law enforcement around the world. These things haven't been prioritized. We could talk forever about why that is, but I think there's a... this is not an intractable problem. I think that's the point I want to make here. So there are places where governments have stepped up, where civil society organizations are doing a great job, but it's just not enough yet. And that's, again, when I come back to this new goal agenda setting for the next 15 years, these are now being prioritized. And the reason UNICEF is weighing in on setting up this new global partnership is precisely to grab the momentum. To just say, okay, enough's enough. I mean, we can't, I got this phrase from Bob, as a human society, we're cannibalizing ourselves. This is, I'm a rights activist when it comes to children. Even if you don't believe in all of that, this is not good for our societies. So on one hand, no, it's not good for children to be unprotected, absolutely not. But at the same time, if you care about the productivity of your society and all of those other things, this isn't good for those reasons either. So I just want to make a, if I can, and good thing I can't see Bob in person right now, but I just have to say I think he's an extraordinary talent, and I think Rochester's lucky to have him. But what he's doing here is something that is really quite paradigm shifting in many parts of the world. Not My Life is screened in so many places, and irrespective of whether it's a English language speaking place or not. This is a powerful medium for engaging people where they are in what is, albeit a complex issue, but not one that is unresolvable, and those people have to be part of the solution.
Before I get back to the phones, I want to ask Bob and Susan a question that his film brought up for me. And I hate to say this, Bob, but the one thing that I had a hard time shaking after watching Not My Life is the fact that I felt more down about the human race. And that's a big sweeping point, but... You know, I tend to think of, isn't it natural to view children as the most vulnerable among us and want to make sure children are protected and children given opportunity? And yet in country after country around this world, we are enslaving them. We are putting them into forced labor. We are treating them as property. We treat them with less rights than a gun or a bag of drugs. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, and I'll start with you, Bob, did it hurt your optimism for humanity at all doing this kind of work?
Evan, I'm so glad I was listening to Susan, and if you hadn't asked that question, I was going to ask it of both you and her.
I couldn't help it. I'm an optimist. I tend to see good in people. I try to see good in people. I couldn't help it.
Why is it that at this point in the evolution of so-called human civilization, we've reached a point where, as Susan says, we have to put these on sustainable development goals. We have to address this. I think Susan pointed out or can confirm that last year, the year before, was the worst year ever in terms of global acts of violence against children. And I frankly, I'm like you, you know, I don't have those answers. It's a profound, I think, moral and philosophical question that we have to ask ourselves as you are. Is it once you know, I think you have to ask yourself, how can this be?
Yeah. Susan, how do you answer that question?
Well, yeah, it's such a great question. I mean, and you know, I've been doing this for 26 years now with UNICEF around the world, tackling these issues, and I feel, okay, I'm accused of being Pollyanna anyway, but I'll just say that I think we're at a turning point. I really, really do. But this conversation was not happening even, I would say, 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So having the conversation is the first place to start. I think that we have to show people there are solutions. And I think that's what will keep the discourse alive and well and this momentum. I often go back to 2012 in December, and I was in Chicago last week talking about this, but in December 2012, at a particular point, you know, just before the holidays, Malala had been shot. We had gang rapes in India. We had the war raging in Syria. We had, Russian children left to languish in orphanages rather than being adopted to the United States, which would have been wonderful for them. And we had the Newtown massacre. And you just looked around you and you went, wait a minute, it's everywhere. And as Bob said, you know, is it the worst time ever to be a child? And yet something shifted. And, you know, not my life's part of that, and this public discourse is part of it. I think that we have some amazing people on the ground doing amazing things. We have leaders of the faith-based community in their communities doing good things. We had 3 summits last year, all focused on the protection of children from child marriage, from FGMC, from online exploitation, including grooming for purposes of trafficking, sexual exploitation. So we've got a lot of momentum now that we haven't had, and I want to grab that and harness it. And I think, you know, we can only see the dark, but there is definitely light in there, and there are solutions to these problems. So we don't want to scare people. That's not where I don't think Bob's film work goes there. These are hard-hitting films that you make, Bob, but they come out basically as calls to action, and within them there are solutions to these problems, and the solutions rest with everyday people. And that's the most important message, I think, and we just got to get this next one made, Bob. Heart of the matter, really, this is very alive, and I mean, I think 6 months is too late. We need this film now. So
from your lips to God's ears.
There you go. Yeah, you'll find it. It's an Indiegogo campaign. They need to raise the funds to make the film, and we've tweeted a link to that if you want to check it out. Let me grab a phone call, and this is in Rochester, Svetlana, with an event going on. Hello, Svetlana. Go ahead. Are you there, Svetlana?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, my name is Svetlana. I'm here thanks to Rochester Global Connections and Open World Leadership Center. I'm from Ukraine. I am an IDP person, like the internally displaced person from the eastern Ukraine, and we have very big crisis now because we have 1.5 million of people in 21st century within Europe, within the center of Europe. And I can say about, I can answer your questions.
Oh, well, Svetlana, I know that, and we only have a couple of minutes, but I know that tomorrow night, for example, there's going to be a community meeting on the refugees and internationally displaced persons in Ukraine, for example. And that's at 6:30 at the Irinakert Library, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It will be community minutes, and I invite you. You can ask us any questions about the situation in Ukraine with IDPs.
Okay, tomorrow night, 6:30 at the Irinakert Library, and you know, again, I think what Svetlana is bringing up, Bob, is just another country with whenever you have displacement and turmoil, people are probably vulnerable and at risk. Fair enough.
Yeah, we've been to Ukraine several times. We were in Ukraine for the AIDS film, and no country in Europe is exempt from these kinds of pressures right now.
And even those who are, you know, not in danger of human, I guess, let me back up and say, what Bob's films have helped illustrate is that human trafficking is a danger everywhere. But some of what I think is going to be discussed tomorrow night are helping people who are displaced, whether they're trafficked or not. Mm-hmm. And so that's tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the Irondequoit Library. Svetlana, the event is free. Is that open to the public?
It will be public.
Open to the public and free tomorrow night at the Irondequoit Library. Didn't have a very good connection with Svetlana, but I know that meeting is tomorrow night, which is just another reminder. It's happening all over the place. Susan, just a last quick word from you. I know you want to make sure this film gets made. What do you want, 30 seconds, what do you want our community to keep in mind going forward as we sort of watch this refugee crisis playing out in Europe and around the world?
Open hearts, open minds. Keep the conversation going and take some kind of local action and, of course, support the film.
Thank you so much, Susan, for taking the time to join the program today and for the work that you're doing with the new Global Partnership to End Violence Against Children with UNICEF. Thank you.
Thanks to you.
And Bob,
thanks, Susan.
Bob, I would say good luck to you. And at some point, I hope this kind of work is not necessary. It is shocking. I've used that word several times. I try not to overuse it. I'm very sensitive to the value of words and what they mean. But it is. It's shocking. Not My Life is a film that I think people should see. But what's the message you want to leave for this community as you get ready to make another one of these films?
If the community will help us out, I will see you, Evan, back here in about 6-7 months, and we'll talk about Heart of the Matter and how we're going to put it out into the world.
Okay. And about 15 seconds. Are you safe? You ever feel in danger in doing this kind of work?
No. Yes and no. Basically, no. I'm fine.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Well,
I'm tired, but I'm fine.
We hope you are. And we so much respect the work that you're doing. That's Bob Bilheimer, the president of Worldwide Documentaries, the director of The Heart of the Matter, the film he is aiming to create as a follow-up and a companion to Not My Life, a film about human trafficking, call it violence against children or slavery, notmylife.org. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Evan.
All right.
Have
a great afternoon here. If you've been listening to the program, thanks again to Val LaBanca, the engineer of this program. Megan Mack is the producer. And I'm Evan Dawson. This is Connections on member-supported public radio.